Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to discuss emergency preparedness in Minnesota with Homeland Security and Emergency Management, the Minnesota National Guard, and the Minnesota Department of Transportation. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
March is Women's History Month. This month, the Library of Congress is doing an impressive job of telling a cross-section of women's stories, many of which include military women. According to the Library of Congress, American women have been involved in the last four major wars. During Korea and Vietnam, women saw a few advances in their roles in military service, mostly support and medical duties. Then, in the 15 years between the end of the Vietnam War and the start of Operation Desert Shield, the armed forces opened up many specialties to women. Since then, and during the conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, women's participation expanded immensely. The rescission of the 1994 direct ground combat definition and assignment rule for women allows for the recruitment of more female soldiers and airmen, making our force more diverse. The Minnesota National Guard is committed to fostering an environment that truly represents the demographics of the communities in which we serve. This month and every month, remember those female service members that have and continue to have a positive effect on truly diversifying our force and continue to make our force a genuine equal opportunity employer.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to discuss emergency preparedness in Minnesota is Joe Kelly, the director of the Minnesota Department of Public Safety's Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Director Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
That must be the longest department in the state, Minnesota's Department of Public Safety's Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
It's a very long title. I have to use both sides of my business card.
And there go the acronyms. That's why we use them, right?
Yes, that is why we use them, so the public understands what we're talking about.
Director Kelly, can you tell us about your position there and what the department does?
Certainly, Tom. As you mentioned, I'm the director of the division that's responsible to Minnesota for managing emergency situations as well as helping contribute to Homeland Security. Our mission, simply stated, is to help Minnesota prevent, prepare for, respond to, and recover from human and natural cause disasters. And we talk about disasters, primarily we think about natural hazards. We're talking about floods, tornadoes, wildfires, mudslides, industrial accidents, those things. But unfortunately, in this day and age, we also have to be prepared for some of those human caused problems like acts of terrorism.
And sir, as of January 2015, you were promoted to director. And I would guess that's a hot seat, isn't it?
Well, it's a humbling appointment, and I'm grateful to the commissioner of the Department of Public Safety for the opportunity. We're off to a pretty fast start. Fortunately, I had the opportunity to train for this job by serving as the deputy director of the division for nearly 4 years prior to being appointed. So I feel pretty comfortable in the seat, but it is a little warm some days.
I'll bet it is, sir. Director Kelly, can you tell us, when we talk about emergency preparedness in Minnesota, you named some things, floods, fires, blizzards, tornadoes, and there are other things that could happen from a terrorist standpoint, I would guess. But can you tell us how can you start and how can you possibly pull together sheriff's departments and the Minnesota National Guard, the Department of Transportation? There's agencies all over the state available, and I would guess it depends on where's the emergency and what's the nature of it and what resources are you going to pull together?
That's all true, Tom. And one of the ways that we do that and provide, you know, create some order to that is we always live by the premise that all disasters are local. So the first people on the scene, the first people that are dealing with response and trying to manage the effects of whatever one of those hazards that you mentioned has occurred are your local first responders, police, fire, emergency medical, emergency management, hospitals, volunteer organizations like the Red Cross and Salvation Army. And then what our job is to do is when at the city and county level, the resources, the things that are needed to deal with whatever the problem is, when they don't have enough to deal with that, they come to my organization. And what we do is when an event is significant enough that state resources are going to be needed, when local government's going to need the help of state government, we activate an emergency operations center where all the state agencies send representatives to. So they bring their technical knowledge, their experience, and the equipment, manpower, other resources of their agency to the game, if you will. And then when we receive a call from assistance from either the city or the county level, we then look around that room and say, all right, who has the thing or the money or the technical knowledge that will help at the county level and city level help solve that problem for them?
We're speaking with Director Joe Kelly from the Homeland Security and Emergency Management Department on Minnesota Military Radio. Director Kelly, in Minnesota, we're lucky to have a resource called Camp Ripley up near Little Falls. That's a state resource that's used by the Minnesota National Guard, and it's used by the Highway Patrol. It's a great state asset. But I think you've been up there recently because when an emergency pops up, that's not the time to go out and start trading business cards. You need to know who the resources are around the state, and I believe you were up there doing some training recently.
We did. Camp Ripley is a great resource for all of Minnesota, particularly state government. And we do spend a lot of time up there. A couple years ago, with funding from the Minnesota State Legislature, we constructed a building that we call the Emergency Management Training Center. And it's a classroom and a training or a mock emergency operations center where we bring folks in, whether they're from state agencies or from local government, to train and to practice on the things that they're going to have to do in order to manage an incident in their community. Because like you said, you practice like you're going to play and you train as you're going to fight. And when a disaster happens, that is not the time to start figuring out who does what and who's responsible and what do you bring and what do I bring? How do we communicate? So we create a training environment up there where the locals can bring their team and we'll run them through a day of training and a day of exercising so they get to know each other, they understand how they're going to work together as a team.
Director Kelly, I'm curious when there's an incident or an event and you have to activate various resources from around the state, all the city, county, state budgets, federal budgets, they're all tight these days and there's no extra money for these things. But when you call in the sheriff's department or you ask MnDOT or the governor decides to pull in the Minnesota National Guard, how's the funding work? Who pays for this stuff?
Well, the funding on who pays for that stuff depends on which organization that you're talking about. In the case of the Minnesota National Guard, as you mentioned, because they are one of our best partners and one of our biggest sources of help, the governor actually orders to service of the state, the men and women of the National Guard, as well as their equipment. And then that triggers, if you will, emergency funding that gets drawn out, if you will, out of the general fund. In the case of other state agencies like mine or the Department of Transportation, we typically take those out of our operating budgets. And if it's a big enough disaster, that's the kind of expenses that we can get reimbursement help from the federal government through FEMA.
So then there's no hesitation on the part of those other agencies, cities, counties, because they know that there'll be some funding provided.
There is no hesitation because of that, but I also think there is no hesitation because Minnesotans know that when bad things happen, we need to respond. We all need to bring what we can to the effort to make sure that we can help that community get back on its feet as quickly as possible. We rarely hear any talk about money.
Director Kelly, this time of year we usually talk about flooding, but we haven't had much of a winter. I would guess that's not going to be a big issue this year?
Well, I think to simplify it, Tom, the threat of spring flooding is low this year, with a couple caveats. One is you never know what's going to happen with precipitation in March and April. If it starts raining, we could have our hands full in a hurry, especially while the ground is still frozen. And as our streams and rivers begin to melt, there are oftentimes we have problems with ice jams causing localized flooding. But the bottom line is the flood risk for springtime, at least in Minnesota, is at a low level.
So the annual training to prepare for the floods, we're having a breath of fresh air this year and not too much to worry about.
Well, we still go through with that training because you never know. It's kind of an annual rite of spring, and we go through that because, again, conditions can change very fast in Minnesota.
Somehow or other on this show, we keep hearing it, training, 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 and it always helps, doesn't it, sir?
It certainly does because You need to know what you're going to do before you're called on to do it, because, as I always say, you're not going to get bigger, faster, stronger just because something bad has happened. You're going to fall back on your plans and your training and your preparation. And that's how we endeavor to make sure that Minnesota is ready in case something bad happens.
Sir, we have to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're talking about emergency preparedness with Director Joe Kelly from the Minnesota Department of Public Safety's Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about emergency preparedness in Minnesota with Director Joe Kelly from the Homeland Security and Emergency Management. And in this segment, we've got a couple of new guests from the Minnesota National Guard, Brigadier General John Jensen. Sir, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here.
And Major Ryan Cochran. Major, welcome in.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
General, I think based on the discussions we had with Director Kelly in the first half, I think it's important to let our listeners know about the dual role of the Minnesota National Guard. You have a federal mission and you have a state mission.
Yes, exactly. Our federal mission obviously is prepare our forces to respond to a national security incident, if you will, go to combat, as we have in Iraq and Afghanistan over the course of the last 12, 14 years. Our state mission, although it's not our primary mission that we prepare for, it still is a very, very important mission, and that is when the governor orders us to duty is to protect life, property, and preserve peace, order, and public safety here in the state of Minnesota. So when requested by county sheriffs or city mayors through Department of Public Safety and Homeland Security Emergency Management, the governor, if he desires and believes that the emergency is large enough, he can order the National Guard to duty, which we have done so almost every year of our existence.
And, of course, every year about this time, there's a flood problem up in the Red River Valley, and we've talked in the 4.5 years we've been on the show, I think every spring we've talked about the training. It's always training, 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 for especially for floods and things that usually come up.
Yeah, exactly, Tom. There's three traditional preparedness exercises that we do every year for emergencies here in Minnesota. One of them would be the spring flooding. Director Kelly and the Minnesota National Guard, we just got together, as a matter of fact, last week and went over our plans one more time, went through our coordination keys, also got very good briefings from each one of the six emergency management districts here in Minnesota. But in addition to that one, we'll do a winter preparedness exercise in the fall. Traditionally, our winter mission from the Minnesota National Guard is to respond to stranded motorists along the roads. And then the final one that we have seen a lot of work in here over the years that we've just recently been adding is an annual fire or wildfire exercise while we'll prepare our aviation units to respond to wildfires in what's been traditionally up in northern Minnesota.
So, sir, it would seem that all of that training, every time I have you in or one of the officers from the Minnesota National Guard, we're training, and if we're prepared for these emergencies, it's a lot easier to handle them. But the other side of it, as Director Kelly said, was it's good to know and understand who the other agencies are before the emergency, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I know Director Kelly talked a little bit about the State Emergency Operations Center, and Ryan Cochran, who's with us here today, is the officer in charge of our Joint Operations Center. And then, Ryan, maybe you can talk just a little bit about the day-to-day interaction that you have with the state EOC and some of the training that we do between our JOC and the state EOC.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Some of the things that we talk with Homeland Security Emergency Management, Director Kelly, and specifically his operations director, Kevin Reed, really focuses on some of what we would call tactical level or local level responses, training liaison officers how to work at the county emergency operations centers, how we communicate effectively up and down that channel between local and state resources. So it really starts with some discussion-based exercises, goes to what we call a functional scale exercise, where it's a lot of staff planning and collaboration, and then goes to a full scale exercise, which we're preparing for this coming August with Vigilant Guard 2015.
General Jensen, it seems that when people think about the Minnesota National Guard, they think about all these deployments, but you really spend a lot of time preparing to help take care of the people of the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a very important mission, and I tell you, talk to soldiers that have deployed overseas and then have also responded to a state emergency. And that response to a state emergency means as much to our soldiers as it does going overseas. It's very important. Because as Director Kelly talked in the first segment, it's neighbors taking care of neighbors, it's Minnesotans taking care of Minnesotans, and it means a lot when you're given the request and the opportunity to serve your state and your fellow neighbor.
We're speaking about emergency preparedness in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio this week with Director Joe Kelly, Brigadier General John Jensen, and Major Ryan Cochran. General Jensen, you have, as part of the Minnesota National Guard, the 55th Civil Support Team that we've had on the show a couple of times. They do an amazing job that is kind of unheralded, but they helped really help protect the people in Minnesota, too.
Yeah, Tom, they're every day. They're 22 soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard, full-time guardsmen. They are here every day, train every day to respond in support of our city and our county, law enforcement agencies, primarily in detection, identification, analysis of chemical or biological agents. And so highly technical, highly trained, very ready and very responsive, and an integral part of that response across the state.
Director Kelly, that's got to be a great resource, and just in case the first responders need some help.
Well, we are very happy and feel very fortunate to have that in our toolbox. They represent a very special capability that does not exist in very many places at all in Minnesota. And one of the things that makes them unique is because, you know, some other state agencies have a lot of scientists and people that can do some analysis and diagnostics of what it is that we have in a given situation. But the 55th Civil Support Team has the ability to go out in the field, to go to the site, and they have the training and the equipment to not only do the monitoring and sampling they need, but also protect themselves and others.
And they have some amazing stories. General, you've got an exercise coming up this year called Vigilant Guard. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Vigilant Guard 15, or VG-15, as we talk about, is an exercise that United States NORTHCOM is supporting through the Minnesota National Guard, but it's really not a Minnesota National Guard exercise. It's an exercise of all of our interagency partners. We're going to be in Duluth, so we're going to have city governments. We're going to have county governments. We're going to have tribal governments participating in this. We'll also be up at Camp Ripley, as well as in our headquarters here in St. Paul. We're coordinating with and exercising with Director Kelly's organization. We're going to stand up the State Emergency Operations Center as part of this, and really kind of test the coordination of multiple state, county, and city agencies from Duluth to Camp Ripley down into the Twin Cities. We're also going to have outside organizations outside of the state. The Wisconsin Civil Support Team, we just talked about the Minnesota one. Wisconsin Civil Support Team is going to come over and participate on this. And on the front side of this is also an exercise called Vital Connections. And Vital Connections is going to be an exercise that allows us to do an assessment of the communication systems, because there's multiple systems, our ability to talk to each other during a time of emergency. So it's the first time that we've done one in Minnesota. We're really looking forward to it. It's been a priority of ours since 2011 when we began planning for this. So we're really looking forward to it, and obviously partnering with HSCM and Director Kelly.
General, there again we bring up Camp Ripley. What a resource that's available to the Minnesota National Guard and all the rest of the state.
Yeah, it is a crown jewel of training, whether it's DNR, the State Patrol, HSCM, the Minnesota National Guard, United States Marines, Navy, Air Force, the Air National Guard. I mean, you just can't believe the number of agencies and organizations that go there, as well as a community resource as well, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, those type of activities there as well.
It's really a great state asset that a lot of other states, other states' National Guards don't have access to.
Yeah, exactly. That we are very fortunate to have that resource here in Minnesota, and it's a pleasure being up there.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to add another member to this discussion from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We've been discussing emergency preparedness in Minnesota. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about emergency preparedness in Minnesota with Director Joe Kelly from Homeland Security and Emergency Management and Brigadier General John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard. And joining us now to help with the discussion is Kevin Gutnick from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Kevin, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here, and I just want you to know I am a great backer of the military, and I listen to your show frequently.
Could you tell us a little bit about your position at the Minnesota Department of Transportation?
You bet. I'm the Director of Communications for the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and we, like a lot of bureaucracies, love acronyms, so from this point forward, we'll refer to it as MnDOT. And MnDOT is a very large organization charged with taking care of the state's transportation system, i.e. the roads and bridges. We've got about 30,000 lane miles of road in the state of Minnesota. We've got about 6,000 bridges that are just state-owned bridges, and we take care of that winter and summer. Wintertime, we're plowing snow, and summertime, we're fixing roads, building roads, fixing bridges, patching potholes, fixing guardrail, and so on. We have about 5,000 employees. 1,800 of those employees are maintenance folks who, most of the time when you're out driving on the road, that's who you're going to see. We have 148 truck stations around the state with about 19 in the metro area. Our headquarters is in St. Paul. I guess if you were going to compare us to a military organization, we'd probably be a brigade-sized element with our headquarters in St. Paul and a battalion-sized element in Roseville. And then around the state, the truck stations would be company-sized elements. So it's a big organization, and workers are all very committed to making sure the roads are safe and the trips are reliable on those roads.
And Kevin, does your organization spend a little time with Director Kelly in this emergency preparedness?
Yeah, periodically we do. One of the things we do every year, or I guess it's every year, we do a power plant exercise. And folks from my office will be involved with the State Emergency Operations Center, assisting there. There have been a number of other exercises over the years as well, where we'll provide trucks or people or different things to take part in exercises that are going on. And then in real state emergencies, we're also very much involved. The Guard is always the last in and the first out. When it comes to the roads and bridges, MnDOT is going to always be there. We will start with floods, for instance. We'll start damming up alongside roads to try to keep the roads from being overflowed. We also have a very strong program in place to do what we call flood mitigation construction. So, for instance, this year we're going to start a project on Highway 169 south of St. Peter. It's a $25 million project, and it's essentially, when it's all done in a couple of years, we'll raise the road up a foot or so to get it out of the floodplain so that it is less likely to be closed during flooding events. That's the big thing. People need the roads to get around, and in flooding situations, it often closes the roads down, especially in the northwestern part of the state as well as along Minnesota River Valley.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners would ask, flooding every year, and a lot of times it's in the same places, why don't we do something about it to make sure it doesn't happen again? But you're working on that every year, too.
You bet. That's exactly the purpose of the flood mitigation program, to try to do things when we're in there doing construction anyway. We'll kick a little extra money into that project and do some things that will make it less flood prone.
Kevin, how much work do you have to do with the summer floods that happen each year?
Yeah, that's Director Kelly mentioned that earlier. And for instance, up in Duluth, it was very, very significant. We're still recovering from that. There is a road that runs through the state park up there, and it took out a bridge. The flood took out a bridge, took out that road, and it wasn't until just last fall, I think, that they finally opened that bridge again. Very significant project. There's also, in the metro area last year during summer floods, we had some significant issues down along Highway 13 through Mendota in that area with mudslides. The sides of the hill would get so saturated with water that they just slide down on the road, and we spent fair amount of time there clearing the road off and trying to stabilize those slopes.
We're speaking about emergency preparedness today on Minnesota Military Radio with the Homeland Security and Emergency Management, the Minnesota National Guard, and MnDOT. Director Kelly, as I recall, a couple of years ago in that big flood up in Duluth, in the news, they said that they needed some dump trucks to help remove, I suppose it was mud or something. And the idea was which agency had dump trucks closest, and it just so turned out that MnDOT had them available, didn't they?
Well, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, Tom, like the National Guard, are one of our biggest and most important partners because, as Kevin Gutnick described, they have a lot of people, they have a lot of equipment, and when you get in emergency situations and either the equipment is not in the right place or there's not enough of it, we often turn to them for dump trucks, for transportation, for earth-moving equipment. Kevin mentioned the slope failures and mudslides. They also have some, I think we call them slope engineers, soils engineers that can help local government evaluate whether they're under a threat or not. So we use the Department of Transportation all the time. We have had three summers running, where we have had deluge rain events that have caused flash flooding and mudslides, road washouts, things like that. And we have used the Minnesota Department of Transportation every year. I think this past summer, one of the things we used them for was their transportation, their trucks and trailers, if you will, out in the MnDOT districts, to haul barrier material to create flood protection up in northern Minnesota in the city of Warroad.
General Jensen, when I think of the Minnesota National Guard, I think about the federal missions and the deployments and those things, and of course the winter flooding. But you spend a lot of time training with other agencies like MnDOT as well.
Well, our favorite MnDOT training exercise every year is up at Camp Ripley, just, you know, kind of stay on our Camp Ripley theme. Kevin, I believe all of the snowplow operators go up there for recertification of those skills. And although we didn't have a lot of snow this year, most years, you know, that's well received by all of us. So we know that that winter's right around the corner when the DOT team shows up at Camp Ripley for that event.
And Kevin, they were up there pushing around some snow, getting ready for winter, weren't they? Pushing around some sand, excuse me.
Yes, indeed. That is an excellent program. Camp Ripley has been a great partner in the training that we do. We train new MnDOT plow operators every year, 50 to 100 of them. And we also bring in other jurisdictions. Could be cities, counties, could be the tribal nations. It's a great place to do it. It's interesting because, as you say, it lets people know winter's coming. But we'll start moving snowplows there the week before the training starts. And then I start getting phone calls. Why are all those plows on the road in central Minnesota? And it's a good thing. And that it's a great facility. There's classrooms. There's a dining facility. There's places for the people to sleep. They usually do two 5-day shots of this. It's been a very good program for us, and we really appreciate the Guard's assistance with it.
Director Kelly, we were talking earlier, I think you had another exercise up at Camp Ripley with Stevens County?
Yes, we did, and I think it's a good illustration of how all levels of government and all kinds of different specialties and disciplines can train there. Stevens County out in west central Minnesota came up for a 2-day, what we call an integrated emergency management training episode. They brought in their whole team. We say integrated with a purpose. We had county commissioners, we had mayors, we had city councils, we had the sheriff's office, police departments, fire departments, ambulance crews, schools. We had representatives from the University of Minnesota Morris and a whole bunch of others. And they trained together on a team. In this case, it was for a train derailment with a train carrying crude oil from North Dakota, and how they would respond and react to that, how they would manage the incident, and how they would communicate with the public. So that is a real jewel for us. That is a real capstone event, if you will, for emergency management training. And it is important to get the whole team together. And that's the kind of things, just like with the Vigilant Guard exercise, we're grateful for that opportunity to pull everybody that would be part of a response together so that we're all better prepared and we know what to do when a disaster does strike.
Director Kelly, it's becoming clear that you not only plan for things that happen on a normal basis like spring flooding, but you have to be prepared for the unimaginable, what might happen.
We do, and we say a lot is that we focus on all hazards, and those range from natural disasters to human cause to industrial or technological, because we never really know. What we have learned, though, is that when it comes to preparedness, it's not necessarily the specific hazard. It is the planning and the training together and the relationships. You know, nobody had a scenario in an exercise that ever had the 35W bridge dropping, collapsing and dropping into the Mississippi River. But because we had trained on other types of disaster scenarios, particularly the locals, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Hennepin, Ramsey County, and their supporting surrounding communities, they were ready for that. And that shows the real value of training together and focusing for on an all-hazards way, like you said, anything that could happen, because it'll probably be an unimaginable something we haven't done.
Gentlemen, we're out of time for this segment, so we're going to have to take a short break. We'll be back with these three gentlemen and this next segment of the Camp Ripley Fan Club when we return. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and on today's show, we've been talking about emergency preparedness in Minnesota. We'll be right back to that in a moment, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Your military service and dedication to this country has earned you the utmost respect to the nation. There are benefits you and your family have earned through this faithful service. Too often, though, confusion or lack of access stands in the way of receiving those benefits. MDVA Outreach exists to be your ally and advocate as you navigate the complex systems of veteran benefits. Our outreach team acts as your liaison to state and federal agencies and walks you through the process of applying for and receiving benefits. What's more, if a disability or geographical location prevents you from seeking assistance in person, they will help you overcome those obstacles. Field Operations is the mobile unit of the MDVA Claims Division with flexibility to travel to those in need. They're in the field with you, and they're here to help. If you have questions about what benefits and programs you may be eligible to receive, please contact your county veteran service officer or call 1-888-LINK-VET. Again, that's 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We've been speaking today about emergency preparedness in Minnesota, and a lot of what we've talked about has been natural disasters, those type of things. But Director Kelly, there was recently a news report that there was actually a threat against malls in the United States, and one of them they mentioned was Mall of America. Now, the world is changing. It's getting smaller and smaller all the time. We think we're safe up here in Minnesota in the middle of the country, but there are other things to worry about today, aren't there?
Well, Tom, yes. Unfortunately, that is a reality of the post-9/11 world. That's a part of life in the 21st century. You know, we're a nation that values our freedoms, and to me, one of those is freedom from fear of a terrorist attack. And there's something very simple that we can all do as individual citizens to keep our communities, our state, and our nation safe, and that is to pay attention. To be vigilant. We all know in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our places of work, we all know what right looks like and what belongs there. And we need to be vigilant in these times that if we see something that is out of place, that we report that to law enforcement. And we have a campaign that with the United States Department of Homeland Security we are promoting, and that is encourage people that if they see something, they should say something. They see something that doesn't look right, they need to get a hold of a security official, law enforcement, and report them and let them look into it. And if we do that, a lot of the concerns that folks have on a daily basis about whether we're safe or not, a lot of that can be mitigated.
General Jensen, you train all your troops in situational awareness. When they're on the battlefield and out doing a mission, they need to be aware of what's around them. But as civilians these days, seems like we need some situational awareness as well. And we also need to be disciplined. And if we do see something, call the authorities. Don't try to do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly right, Tom. You know, we teach all of our soldiers from the very first day that the three primary things that they need to be able to do as a soldier is shoot, move, and communicate. Communicate is very important to the citizens, to the law enforcement agencies. And one of the things that came out of 9/11 is that, you know, and the reason why we stress interagency coordination and training is to develop that communication rhythm between agencies and organizations. So as we see something in the Minnesota National Guard, we're communicating with our interagency partners to make sure that it's going to the right place, to the right people, so the right action can take place. So it's very, very important as citizens, as soldiers, and also as agencies. So hopefully we made that point today in terms of our interagency partnerships as well.
And Kevin, MnDOT's got employees out all over the state, and while they're out doing their duties and plowing their roads, and they're observing things too, I would imagine.
You bet. We have a very close relationship with the State Patrol, with local law enforcement officials, and that is how we are trained as well. If we see something that we don't think is normal, we don't try to necessarily handle it ourselves. We pass the word on and leave it to the experts to deal with.
I imagine part of your relationship with the Highway Patrol is they also train up at Camp Ripley, don't they?
Yes. We love Camp Ripley, don't we?
Camp Ripley fan club right here. Kevin, any final thoughts for our listeners about emergency preparedness?
Not at this point. Thank you.
General?
Well, I would just say to the citizens of the state, it's your obligation, it's your requirement to be prepared as well. You can't expect the government to answer everything. So be prepared for that event, whether it is fire prevention at your house and how you're going to respond to a fire at your home, to what do you do in the case of a tornado. I mean, be prepared, practice that with your family, and it will help save lives.
In general, it's great to hear that all the state agencies are cooperating and working together and know the phone numbers and know the faces and the names so that when there's an emergency, we can all pull together.
Yeah, absolutely. Witnessing the commissioners, how they interact, the deputy commissioners and the directors, how they interact as interagency is really a great thing to see, that it's truly a spirit of one team.
Director Kelly, we've got about a minute left, and I'm going to give the last word to you. Any final thoughts for our listeners about emergency preparedness?
Well, I really appreciate what General Jensen said about the responsibility of all of us as individuals and households and business owners to do what we can to be prepared in case there is an emergency, a disaster, something bad happens. But I also think it's very important for Minnesotans to feel very confident that if there is a big event, if there's a significant natural or human-caused disaster, that government at all levels, starting at the local level, is prepared to deal with the consequences of it. We're ready to respond, and we're ready to take care of people and get our communities back to normal if something bad happens. We do, in my humble opinion, we do a very good job of that in Minnesota, and Minnesotans should feel that they're ready.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. That was Director Joe Kelly, Brigadier General John Jensen, and Kevin Gutnick talking about emergency preparedness in Minnesota. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guards, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. It is great to be back with you again.
Sergeant Major, you've been tuning in and listening to the conversations that we've had during the entire show about emergency preparedness in Minnesota. Do you have some thoughts to expand on that?
Well, what's great about this, Tom, is it ties right into one of the things that you and I talked about back in September and how it relates to one of the six things that I am looking at as the Senior Enlisted Advisor to Major General Nash, and that is the readiness aspect of it, because as it's been discussed, as a Minnesota National Guard, we owe it to our citizens to be prepared to provide support to civil authorities when there's that local emergency, a natural disaster. And, of course, we owe it to the citizens of the United States to answer the call when our nation needs us. And we have to be able to do that. So to ensure that our readiness is at that level that's needed and to be able to provide that support where it's needed, what we do as an organization is try to make sure we've got the right people in the right positions, make sure we've got the right training with the right equipment. But a big part of this is our individual soldier and airmen, the fact that they've got to be personally prepared with their physical readiness, their medical readiness, their mental readiness, things like a healthy lifestyle, their physical fitness, having their shots up to date or their physical squared away, and, of course, education. All that stuff makes up that soldier and airman readiness. And then, of course, you know what? They ensure that piece of it's done, because what that leads to is the ability to demonstrate this readiness through events like an exercise. Vigilant Guard 15 was mentioned early in the program. And you know what? Our soldiers and airmen, it's not like they have a long time to get ready for these local disasters or local emergencies. We got to be ready all the time. That's why readiness is such a key factor for us. And what I really want to express is that because we are constantly, because we are always trying to ensure we're ready, we're doing the training we're supposed to be doing, we're very conscious of this readiness, the citizens of Minnesota really need to have that faith and confidence that their Minnesota National Guard is always prepared and is absolutely always ready to be called to duty.
Sergeant Major, I know that you're training for federal deployments all the time, and you get a lot of advance notice, and as you said, on these state emergencies, they come up right away. How do your soldiers and airmen feel about the being called up for a state emergency and having to jump at a moment's notice?
Well, I really believe that's why a lot of our soldiers and airmen join the Minnesota National Guard, because they want that opportunity to serve their local community, the state. And, you know, that's one of the unique aspects of being a member of the Minnesota National Guard. No other branch of service gets to serve like we do in the communities. So, yeah, I think our soldiers and airmen absolutely appreciate that, and they don't complain about it at all.
Kind of a big difference between the Minnesota National Guard and the reserve troops is that you've got that dual mission, federal and state.
Yes, it sure is. And when we swear in, when we take that oath of office, if you will, or oath of enlistment, we swear to protect and defend our Constitution, but then we also swear to protect and defend within the state of Minnesota.
So, Sergeant Major, once again, these generals and directors and all those people get together and do all the planning, and then when the emergency happens, you've got to make it happen, don't you?
Well, that's the way it works. You know, the officer corps, they do a great job of planning, and it's up to the enlisted folks to make sure we execute properly. But we work hand in hand, and I think that we've got a great team within the Minnesota Guard and our leadership.
It's always fun to watch the Army, because where there's a general, there's a sergeant major, and they work, as you say, hand in hand and make sure that the job gets done.
Yes, we do. And, you know, that's why we're so good at what we do.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us again.
All right, Tom. Hey, thank you very much. Hope you have a great day, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We have one announcement today. The Blue Star Mothers of America, Inc., North Metro Chapter 7, is assembling care packages to be sent to deployed military. Donations of cash or goods may be dropped off at the Fridley VFW Post 363 at 1040 Osborne Road in Fridley prior to March 15th. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Director Joe Kelly, Brigadier General John Jensen, Major Ryan Cochran, Kevin Gutnick, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelido of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp and check in with the Marine Corps League. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.